CliffCentral.com.
Hello there, my name is Sonia Booth and I'm your host for Opinion Booth. Just a disclaimer before I go any further is that please be nice to me if you're going to be calling in. It's my first day and I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm glad that I've got wonderful company. Palesa is here just, helping me out so that I can get acquainted with the studio equipment and all of that. Thank you so much, Palesa, for your patience.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Okay, so the show name is Opinion Booth, and if you're going to be sharing any of your opinions, any of your stories, suggestions, the hashtag is Opinion Booth. You'll find me and Cliff Central on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Now, yesterday being Workers' Day, or some as they call it May Day, I thought it befitting to ask my followers and friends and relatives what their first jobs were and how much they got paid. Reason for that, with the hopes of trying to motivate youngsters out there that how you start is not how you're going to end up, that is, career-wise. The first job that you have is not a determining factor for the job of your dreams, you know, or your ultimate goals and plans that you have. And I'm going to be sharing a lot from friends. And the first one would be from Sipsile Manzini, who has completed her MBA. And I know she's got ambitions of pursuing her PhD. I mean, she's an academic of note. She's a personal friend of mine. But listen to her WhatsApp voice note. And if you're not motivated by this as a youngster out there trying out, looking for an internship and wanting to get your foot through the door, here's Sipsile Manzini.
Hi, this is Sipsile. My first two jobs, yes, you had right, jobs, were during school holidays when I was doing Form 3, which is an equivalent of grade 9, I think, SA. Those two jobs were organized by my mom. The one job I worked for 2 weeks or 3 weeks in a shop that was selling school uniform. Of course, I didn't get paid because the shop was owned by my aunt. And then the rest of the holidays, I worked at the National Library where my mother worked. Again, there was no salary. And it sucked the most when the staff got paid because they went and bought stuff and they were so excited. And me, I was just like, I just worked for free. Why? But my mom made a valid point and said that working would teach me certain skills about being in the workplace, even though it wouldn't teach me anything about getting a salary. And also, it would look good on my CV because it would show that from a young age, I was determined to put in hours and work. I was disciplined. I guess it worked well, looking back, although I wish I had been paid. Then, when I was grown, my first job was working as a television presenter. I didn't get much pay. I think I took home less than 2,000 rand. I don't know if I should be revealing that. But yeah, again, from that, I just thought, okay, I'm gaining exposure. I'm doing a job. I'm getting some kind of experience because I ended up learning TV production as well as doing voice or sound engineering, which is quite cool. And at some point, I thought I wanted to pursue TV production. That changed. And then my first job. Okay, I've got lots of jobs. But my first job, which is aligned to the career I'm in right now, was as an intern after I had completed my master's in industrial psychology. That humbled me a lot. If anyone has been an intern, they will know that an intern is like the skivvy of the organization. You do what, in summary, we would call paying your dues. And from that, 1 year experience, I gained enough experience to take me to where I'm at. About 5-6 years after that, I'm in a management position in a big organization, a state-owned entity. So I'd like to believe that all my work experiences, humbling as they may have been, have contributed to me being where I'm at right now. They have taught me discipline. They have taught me negotiation skills. They have taught me presenting. They've taught me the ability to build relationships with people. And they've taught me that you work for what you want. Thank you for your contribution, Sonia. I hope someone will learn from my experiences.
Wow. Sure. She did have a lot of jobs. I mean, some of the things I did not even know that she got up to. But I mean, if you were to look at her academic achievements, if you were to look at her CV and how she started out and the fact that, you know, she dabbled in various industries, in order for her to using that as a stepping stone towards the next chapter of her life, and she is an inspiring woman. Now, if you'd like to engage, or if you would like to have a chat with me, if you would like to share your story, your journey, your opinions, after all, this is Opinion Booth, you can reach the studio 0861 555 189, or on WhatsApp 0797482090. WhatsApp again, if you want to send us a message, 0797482090. You want to call the studio, 0861 555 189. This is Opinion Booth. Now, run about now, I think I want to share with you a somewhat, hilarious, you might actually not find it funny, but my husband shared one of the many jobs that he had straight after matric. He told me, related a story yesterday, rather, about how he wrote his last paper. It happened to be a history exam paper. And the first job that he had, I'm not going to mention the name of the company, but it was in Woodstock at the time in Cape Town, being from Cape Town, Matthew, that is. And his first job was at a sports store. And he worked on the floor of the shop, whether he was, at times packing football kits for customers, assisting customers, and doing a whole lot of other things that were required of him at this sports merchandising store. And he shared a story that, more often than not, he would be chasing shoplifters outside the store. And for me, I thought, there's an irony there, because I mean, you would think that the business owners or the company owners would, have sense, or that sense would prevail, that, pay security and let Matthew, seeing that he's hired to assist customers and to work the floors, hire security. The more sensible thing would be that, so that he's not spending his entire shift chasing after shoplifters, which is also rather risky for his life. Because I mean, anything could have happened to me to him. He could have been stabbed. He could have been anything could have happened to him. So I mean, it's somewhat hilarious, but I mean, it's just one of those things that people like Matthew had to do, just so that they could have, a bit of pocket money, but also so that they're not loitering the streets, causing trouble, wreaking havoc, and have a sense of responsibility, and knowing that at the end of the month they'll have money that they've worked hard for. And a lot of us, we don't value that, and we don't take it seriously. I mean, I know, for example, that at some point as well, Matthew was asked to pay rent to his parents. I don't think it was punishment. Some people could look at it and say, geez, a 17-year-old paying rent at his parents' house. You might think it's a bit harsh, but I mean, when I think about it, and looking at the kind of responsible men that he is today, who's also very financially savvy. I think he's got his parents to thank, you know, the upbringing, the foundation that he had from his sensible parents who taught him responsibility at a very young age. And I mean, you know, there's so many stories out there. I'm going to be sharing a lot of them throughout the show. But one that stuck out for me was actually from my Facebook post, because I did post this question yesterday on, you know, being Workers' Day to my friends and Facebook followers about what their first jobs were. And this particular one is from a lady. She's actually Dr. Shimange Matsose. She's a friend of mine. Her name is Lusando Lwetu. She's a gynecologist and obstetrician. That name is always a mouthful. She's a highly, highly educated woman. Obviously, you have to be in order to be a doctor, but even more so when you specialize. And there's very few gynecologists and obstetricians in the country. And I mean, I was absolutely gobsmacked when she posted this, and you're not going to believe this. She said to me, she was a clown at an eatery. She mentions the name of the eatery, but I'm not going to mention it because I'm not here to promote brands, right? Yeah, so it's a very popular eatery. I'll just say that they got into a bit of a scandal not so long ago. So I think, Palisa, you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure most of the listeners would know what eatery I'm talking about. So she said to me she worked as a clown. So she basically wore a clown's costume at this eatery. And she says, yes, girl, I was giving out those helium balloons at this restaurant. I'm talking about somebody now who is a gynecologist and obstetrician. So that's why I thought it is important for us to share our journeys. It is important for us to inspire each other because, you know, there's a youngster out there who's just matriculated last year. They have no clue what they want to do with their lives. Or they do know what they want to do. They do know what careers they want to pursue. They do know what they want to study in, you know, in tertiary, technical college, or whatever you. They want to start a business. They want to pursue careers as entrepreneurs, but they don't know how to start. And I think one of the biggest problems in society is that there aren't enough role models. You know, we grow up in society now where the kids are left with no choice but to emulate gangsters, you know, a local thug who drives a, you know, beautiful BMW and he forever has cash. Nobody knows what he does for a living, but obviously you can always speculate and have your suspicions as to how he gets, you know, his money, whether he's a drug dealer or owns a brothel, what have you. So if the family, and you know, I'm starting this conversation because everything interlinks, because you know the topic that I've raised, I'm hoping that it's going to inspire the youth out there that you always have to be willing to start somewhere. So now on the topic of role models, it starts at home. I mean, we talk about charity, you know, beginning at home. Charity begins at home. So I mean, you know, I've had this discussion with friends of mine that you cannot expect a personality out there or a person that's in the public eye or a so-called celebrity. You cannot entrust that responsibility for your kids to emulate, and then you get disappointed when a so-called celebrity gets involved in a scandal, or you know they turn out not to be as perfect as you think they should, because there's a notion out there that celebrities or people in the public eye have the squeaky clean image, and that, you know, life is a breeze, and that you don't make any mistakes, and that you're a perfect human being, which is it's nonsensical, and I think it's too much to ask of an individual. So the point I'm trying to make right now is that it starts at home. You know, as parents, if you have kids, the onus is upon you to become role models for your kids. Don't, you know, you cannot live in a way that is questionable to society, where you don't know right from wrong, and then expect your kids to turn out as responsible adults. And if you are not disciplining your kids, if you're not teaching them the right from wrong, if you're not teaching them responsibility and to take ownership, it's unfair and it's actually irresponsible for you to push that responsibility onto your neighbors or onto your local pastor, you know, or if there's a person that's in the public eye on the same road where you've grown up, you know, I'm from Pimville, you know, it would be too much to ask of me to expect me to live, you know, a so-called squeaky clean life and not allowing me to make any mistakes in life because you've appointed me a role model to your kids, and yet you're not even availing yourself to, you know, give teachings to your kids. And then, of course, nobody is perfect. I mean, no parent is perfect. You know, being a so-called great parent, or in your mind you think you're a great parent, doesn't necessarily mean that your kids are going to turn out well. I mean, we know of pastors whose kids you know, end up owning strip clubs, you know. I'm nobody to judge, but I mean, you know, so please engage. You know, I'm encouraging you to challenge me. You know, you can call us in studio. The number is 0861-555-189, or if you're on WhatsApp and you want to send us a message, or, you know, you want to congratulate me on my first day and help me to calm my nerves. You know, beautiful messages, positive messages. Share your stories. If you know of a friend that started out, you know, rough. I mean, you know, for example, you hear of somebody who started out as a domestic worker and worked really, really hard, and then they ended up achieving their MBA. I know of guys who used to work at Pick It Up, for example, you know, picking up your refuse bin and chucking it into that massive truck of theirs, and pursued careers, and then now they, you know, he's an engineer. For example, I mean, one of the jobs that I had, I'm not proud, and please do not emulate this, because I'm like I said, I'm really not proud. I worked at a restaurant, I waitressed at a restaurant for a whole 3 hours. Yes, I know, it's a record, right? I mean, that's like Guinness World Book of Records. I don't know anybody else who's worked, I mean, who sustained a job for such a short, you know, space of time, amount of time. It's ridiculous. Like I said, I'm not proud to say this, but I mean, it was in Woodmeat, and you know, I needed a little bit of, you know, I needed cash, but of course I knew that as a waitress I was not going to be making any, you know, much money at all. But I mean, you know, for me, I thought, okay, you know, I can easily have 2-3 jobs. I was still trying to crack it into the modeling industry. This was after I matriculated, because my mom was sensible to say to me, you know, I'm not going to pursue modeling until you finish your matric. And I'm still grateful and thankful that, you know, she insisted on that, because, you know, I'm not sure how my life was going to turn out. And I'm not saying that I'm all there, you know, career-wise. I'm nowhere near. I mean, I still have a lot of books, you know, book titles that I would like to get published. I still have a lot of goals. Yes, even at my age. I mean, I know of people who achieve their matric certificate, if I'm not mistaken, that the Sipho Sticks Mabuse matriculated, if not last year or a year before, and if I'm not mistaken, he's in his late 60s. So I mean, you things like that, you just marvel, and they're inspirational, because there's no age to anything, you know. If you feel you've got goals to pursue, don't put an age limit to it. Of course, you put a timeline to it. I mean, everybody has goals. You know, some people have got monthly goals, biannual goals, or some people have, you know, a 5-year goal, a 10-year, whatever. But I mean, you need to be realistic. You need to look at your circumstances and, you know, decide that, okay, if this is what I want to do, how am I going to go about, you know, pursuing that? So here I was at this restaurant, and unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, I happened to wait on a very, very big table. It had about 20 guys, and I think they had just finished at an empowerment conference or workshop, work conference, whatever, because the place where I was waitressing, they had conference rooms, and they had a hotel as well attached to it. So it was a massive group, just guys. And here I am, skinny, you know, tall woman, waiting on them, and their orders were just becoming more and more ridiculous. You know, one would order a particular drink, and then I bring it to the table, and then he looks at me in like very rude and not a nice tone, you know, that I didn't order that, you know, and there was no please or thank you, anything like that. I mean, you know, you can make peace with the fact that people are not going to say thank you and please, because they're, you know, the perception out there is that if you're paying for it, I don't need to thank you for it. But I mean, it's important, you know, if someone is giving you a service, just to, you know, just to show appreciation, because waiting on tables isn't nice. I did it for 3 hours, and so when I realized that these guys were just going to get more and more ruder, if there's a word like that, if not, I've just made it up, I thought, you know what, in order for me to maintain my sanity, I'm going to walk out of here. So I looked into my pouch. I had made 30 rands from tips. So in that 3 hours, I had made a whole 30 rands. I used that money, and it so happened that the Maxi taxi that I took home cost me $30. So I mean, the irony and the hilarious thing about it, or the, you know, it's that I worked for 30 rands for 3 hours, and I still had to put up with such, you know, rude guys who I think they just made it their mission to make my afternoon absolutely miserable. But you know, I've got them to thank, because I mean, things like that only help you to build up you know, a strong skin, an extra layer, and that became useful in modeling, because, you know, as a model, I had to build up a thick skin, you know. My husband just found out the other day, you know, even after 16 years, there's still so many things he doesn't know about me. But I still have cousins he hasn't met. I mean, just on Saturday, I was still introducing him to, you know, to other cousins at my niece's first birthday party. And he's given up. And I said to him, love, make peace with the fact that it's not possible for you to meet every family member, because we are a clan, you know. And that's just from my mom's family side. So I revealed to him the other day that I posed as a model. This was, I hadn't made it as a model. I was still trying to crack it. I mean, I had, you know, I was still attending auditions after auditions and not getting anything. And so this time I thought, you know what? Let me peruse a newspaper, you know, the jobs section, you know, on the Wednesday, they used to advertise jobs. And I came across an advert from a very prestigious school, St. John's. You know, it's one of the most expensive schools in the country. It's actually considered an Ivy League education. I mean, I don't even want to begin to think how much tuition fees cost, but I know it's a very exclusive school. And I posed as a model, during an art class to, I think that the boys must have been 14, 15. So for 2 hours, I was in a one-piece bathing costume, and I sat on a chair in a particular pose, and I had to maintain that pose for a whole 2 hours without even, you know, like I really had to maintain my composure for 2 hours, because their task during the art class was that they're supposed to draw the model, you know, draw what they see. And I did that for 2 hours, and I got 40 rands an hour. So I went home with $80 cash. As soon as the lesson was finished, got paid in cash. I got money in the envelope. It is a prestigious school, after all. They were not going to give me money, you know, on, you know, in my hand. So they had it in an envelope. I used that money for taxi fare. I mean, the 80 rands that I made, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I used 20 rands towards transport. And, you know, the rest I helped around the house. You know, I would buy a loaf of bread or milk just to assist my mother, who was working really, really hard at the time. So, you know, these are some of the things that one does just to, you know, push the hours, and also, like I said, just to have that sense of pride. You know, for me, you would think it doesn't make sense for you to get paid and then use that money on transport. For me, the sense of waking up in the morning, bathing, getting ready, getting dressed, taking that taxi to go to a workplace, because I considered it a job, because it was a job after all, because it was paying. I had a sense of pride in that it doesn't matter how much money I'm making, it doesn't matter if this 80 rands is going towards transport. I took pride in knowing that at the end of, you know, the 2 hours, I've earned this money. Yes, I was posing for 2 hours as a model, but I mean, you know, that was a job. So at this point, I'd like to share another story from a friend of mine, and I'm sure a lot of people know her. I call her Mrs. Elise Yed. I wonder if she's listening, and I know she's probably going to call. She shared this on Facebook. It reads, "My first job was a cleaning job at Kenilworth Racecourse for 6 months. And my salary was 45 rands a week." Yeah, exactly. I see you. Palisa is like puzzled. She's like, 45 rands a week? Are you kidding me? She goes on to say, "Then I found a job in a clothing factory in Salt River." Salt River is in Cape Town. Elise is Capetonian. "My salary was 60 rands a week." Okay, so you know, it was an upgrade from 45 rands a week to 60 rands a week. I mean, we laugh, I mean, at this. But, I mean, she did that, you know. She didn't have a choice at the time, you know. She had to start somewhere. So my salary was 60 rands a week. Then I became the spring queen. The spring queen, if I'm not mistaken, was a beauty pageant, like a massive beauty pageant in Cape Town at the time. I think it was in the Salt River or Woodstock area. And the woman I'm talking about, if you look at her, you understand why she would have entered something like spring queen. I mean, she's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, and she doesn't age as well. She's got no wrinkles. And I mean, she's in her mid-40s. She's absolutely amazing. And then she says, "And then a star was born, a Liz Gazar." You know, that's her maiden surname. You know, she's her surname is Yed now, Y-E-D. So she says, "And a star was born, Elise Gazar. I became one of SA's first black supermodels. And today I am the vice president of Yedco International and partner. I own 49% of the company. Never give up. You never know what God has plans for you, my babies." This is the message to the youngsters out there. And I gotta say, Elise, I mean, your story is inspirational, and I have newfound respect for you. I mean, not that I didn't respect you before, but you know what I mean, you know, because you're just revealing this for the first time, what you did yesterday. And you know, for me, just having that sense of pride and not worrying about what other people are going to be saying, the fact that you were a cleaner, people's opinions didn't matter to you. You just wanted to provide for yourself. You wanted to make sure you had a bit of cash at the end of the month for you to spend on whatever else that you were spending. And I do know that you also helped out your parents from a very young age. You know, she became a breadwinner at a very young age. So I mean, you know, there's so many stories that I would like to share if time allows me. Don't forget, once again, WhatsApp if you want to engage, 0797482090, or the studio number 0861555189. This is Opinion Booth with Sonia Booth. So let me share another story. This is from Instagram, and the lady says, I worked as a paralegal. I earned $2,500 a month. This was in 2012. I've come a long way. It's a pity. It's from Lungile Masango. It's a pity she doesn't share what she does now. But I mean, if she says I've come a long way, we can only just imagine, that she did a few things in between on her way to pursuing the career that she wants. The other one is from Mtogo Mselegu from Instagram. He says, I was a host at a plant nursery next to my school while doing matric. I was earning 32 rands an hour and only worked on Saturdays and Sundays. 32 rands an hour. Now, I mean, depending on when this was, I mean, it's still, you know, it's little, but I'm sure it did, afford him to buy, whatever that he needed to buy, toiletries, transport to go wherever he needed to go. I mean, also a lot of youngsters now, they use, money that they earn, at their afternoon, evening, weekend jobs, for entertainment, instead of constantly asking your parents, to give you money for an upcoming concert, you should perhaps, consider taking a job waitressing at a restaurant, or even as an au pair. Mind you, I've seen adverts of people wanting somebody to walk their dogs because they busy chasing paper. They don't have time to walk their dogs. So if you live in a neighborhood whereby this forever local community newspapers, you should do yourself a favor, peruse a newspaper and see if somebody is not looking for an au pair, somebody to house it. I mean, that is a paying job. There was an advert actually a while ago of guys who just couldn't believe their luck, and they came across an advert in the newspaper that was looking for somebody to house it, and it happened to be at one of the most unbelievable seafront beachfront properties in Camps Bay, and you can imagine that they just couldn't believe their luck, the fact that they were house sitting this beautiful mansion in one of the most beautiful areas in Cape Town. So yes, you can get paid to do absolutely nothing, or actually very little. Another lady, Notando, says she was a quantity surveyor and she earned 2,800. Now again, it's a pity she doesn't share what she does now. And another lady who many of you might know, I mean, she's a model. I did model with her many, many years ago. Tidi Madisha. She says, I worked in retail. Again, I won't mention the store name. It was in Rosebank. And she earned, it says here, 20,000. But I made a killing in extra money from tips for being friendly. And some of it was commission. Another lady says, I worked in Menlyn at a restaurant for my first 2 days. I earned tips and had to give them to the person that was training me. Yes, you heard that right. Her first 2 days earnings, that is from tips, she had. Maybe it was the restaurant's policy, I'm not sure. Or maybe the person who was training her blackmailed her, or, put a knife against her throat to say, you're going to give me, because after all, I am training you. So, to the person that was training her, and I would earn a sandwich and a can of cool drink a day. Yes, that's from Zintle Mkhize on Instagram. Another lady was a teller at a bank, and she earned 5,000. Now, I mean, that that to me would, you know, seem like a very good salary. I mean, to if your first salary is 5,000 rands, okay, but then again, depending on when this was, I mean, if this was like 10 years ago, that's like a flipping good salary. I'd be very happy with 5,000, I mean, 10 years ago, because I mean, obviously now, 5,000 today, you know, it doesn't take you a long way. Kasumi Green on Instagram says, I was a promoter and I earned 150 a day. This was almost every high school vacation since grade 10. So, I mean, those are some of the careers, you know, that people pursued, you know, whilst they were on their journey, whilst pursuing the ultimate goal. Now, another thing that I would encourage youngsters out there is that, you know, when you look at the unemployment rate in South Africa at the moment, it's one of the highest in the world. I mean, it's bleak, especially considering that we've just been downgraded to junk status. It's not helping economy at all. So, I mean, if you're a maths boffin, for example, and, you know, there's obviously a local high school not far from where you live. One of the things that you could do, which would be fantastic for your CV, is that you could volunteer at your local school in the afternoons or, you know, on weekends and tutor, you know, appoint yourself as a maths tutor and help out youngsters who are not, you know, need extra support, lessons in mathematics, science, biology, life orientation, whatever. I mean, it doesn't just have to be math. If you excel at a particular subject, I mean, if you like achieve like distinctions in whatever subject in matric, I think you also have a responsibility, because I mean, responsibility is not just for the parents and the adults or the grown-ups. You can also be you know, a responsible member, a contributing member of society by volunteering at a non-profit organization on weekends, for example. Read at a local library, there's always kids, and some kids can't read or write. I mean, you pick up a book for an hour and you find kids outside on the road, invite them inside the library and read a book for them, you know. All these things you can easily add. You can volunteer, you know, and the beauty of it is that you can always add these things on your CV. And a potential employer who's looking at your CV before they even meet you, just looking at all these, you know, looking at the hours that you've committed yourself towards community upliftment, believe you me, that gives you an advantage. If there's two people in a room who are about to get interviewed, and one of you, even if your entire CV is just volunteer work, and the other person has had experience, personally, I would really consider a person that shows potential, a selfless person that has proven that they're not just about, you know, living for themselves. They're all about community upliftment, and, you know, they take themselves seriously as people that contribute to society. The other day I saw a post from Basi Kumalo. You know, she's known as Basi. Some people, you know her as Basitsana Kumalo. And, you know, she posted something profound on Twitter. You know, she posted, our parents imparted the spirit of entrepreneurship in us quite early on. And I've often heard of stories of Basi and her sister, Johanna Mokoki. You know, their parents were business owners, and they were expected to put in hours after school, whether it was at a puzzle shop at one of the parents' businesses. I know somebody else, Mama Chichi Maponya. I mean, I'm sure many of you know the Maponya Empire that's been created. There's a Maponya Mall in Pimville in Soweto. And I mean, this is a family business that was started by Dr. Richard Maponya. the honorable, as I call him, because I mean his achievements and what he's done for community upliftment, not just in Soweto but in many areas. I mean, you give respect to a gentleman like that. So Mama Chichi Maponya also put in hours at one of those puzzle shops, as we call them in the townships. You know, some people call them tuck shops, whatever word you want to use. But they put in hours, and you know, she is a businesswoman of note today. I mean, she's on boards of massive corporates and organizations, and I know that she's also a chairperson of Brand SA. And I mean, she's got a CV like you cannot believe. I mean, she is, you know, one of the most powerful businesswomen out there, and you can only learn from women like that. You know, if they do not inspire you, you know, if her likes do not inspire you, then I'm not sure what will. So talk to me, studio 0861-555-189. Palisa has run away. She's left me by my lonesome self here, and she knows I'm nervous still. Remember, it's my first day, hey? So I'm allowed to be nervous, yeah. What's up? 0797482090. Yeah. It is Opinion Booth with moi, Sonia Booth. You're with me, Sonia Booth, on Opinion Booth. Remember, the hashtag to use is Opinion Booth on all social media. You'll find me on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter. You can also use the cliffcentral.com handles and the hashtags, whatever you, as long as you do communicate with me. Remember, the WhatsApp is 0797482090 and the studio 0861-555-189. Now, at this point, I want to share one of the many other jobs that I had when I, you know, was still trying to crack this modeling industry, the phony, fakey industry that I knew it back then. I'm not sure what it's like now, but yeah. Anyway, I did it for 8 years. So I attended 40 auditions prior to getting my first job as a model. And I remember I had this diary, and I would note down all the auditions that I would have to attend. And it was not easy. So, I mean, you can imagine going for 40 auditions, you know, the kind of perseverance that I had in me, you know, and a never say die attitude, you know. But some people call it, you know, a Chuck Norris character, a never say die character, and that's what I'm about, you know. I'm a typical Scorpio, you know. I don't give up easily. So one day I went through my diary and you know, counted all the auditions that I had been to. And I remember I knelt down and I said a prayer, and I remember screaming. I was actually very, very depressed at the time. And I remember saying to the universe, you know what, the next audition is going to be my last one. And as Murphy's Law would have it, I got the campaign, I got the modeling job, the modeling assignment. It happened to be a massive campaign for a massive beverage brand, big enough that I gave my mom the check. As soon as I got the check from the agency, I got into a taxi. I didn't have a car at the moment, at that moment, even though I had my driver's license, because one of the things that I knew was that as soon as I'm old enough to, you know, get my driver's license, I'm going to get it. Whether I have a car or not, it didn't matter to me, because, you know, I had a vision, you know, I had an end goal in sight. I knew that if I was going to be looking for a job, chances are they were going to request a driver's license. So I had my priorities straight. I mean, even though there wasn't much money to be had, you know, bearing in mind that one of the goals or one of the careers that I wanted to pursue, I mean, I was really, really fascinated by architecture. Still am today. So after matric, I would have loved to have gone to university to study as an architect. The other option was to be a mechanical engineer, and, you know, with the hopes of qualifying as a mechanic, because I was absolutely obsessed with cars and how they function and, you know, the entire motor mechanics and mechanisms. So, I mean, that's not saying that I'll, you know, that dream has been, you know, put in a box or shelved. I might still decide to go to varsity and pursue a dream as a mechanical engineer or even as an architect, because it's still within me. You know, it's still one of those things that I feel like, you know, I didn't achieve that, and you feel like you're lacking something. You feel like, you know, if I haven't achieved everything that I had noted down on my diary, you somehow you feel like a failure, you know. And I mean, it's reasonable to think like that, because I mean, we all have goals, and I mean, if you don't achieve something, you do feel like, you know, I've failed. Anyway, so the beauty about getting this massive campaign, as I said, I gave my mom the check, and I gave her instructions, and I said to her, I don't want a cent from this money. Go to the bank the following day, cash this check. And my mom built a two-roomed house, which was an upgrade, because we had been living in a shack at the time in Orange Farm. So my first modeling assignment, after going for 41 auditions, I got the job. And that's how I started my modeling career. And I became a model for 8 years, and I traveled the world for that 8 years. But I mean, if you were to look at my journey and how hard it was, bearing in mind the auditions were in whole, like, varying suburbs all over, Sandton, Rivonia, and we didn't have any maps or Google Maps or anything like that. I didn't have a cell phone even. We didn't have cell phones at the time. Yes, that's how old I am. Yeah, Balisa. I used a map, a physical map, that I had to use to go from Rosebank to Sandton, from Sandton, Randburg, whatever, all over the place in Joburg, with using an atlas map at the time to go to auditions. It wasn't easy, but I'm here today because I started off somewhere and I had role models. Yeah. So there you go. That's my journey. And I'm gonna leave now. I think that's my hour done, right, Balisa? Yeah. Time flew, right? You would agree. I hope I didn't bore you, hey? And I hope I didn't bore anyone at home. But I mean, even if I did bore you, please be nice. It's my first day. Be nice to me. Let your comments be positive. Remember, you're trying to inspire me. You're trying to build me. On that note, Sonia Booth, Opinion Booth, hashtag Opinion Booth, aspire to inspire before you expire. I'll say it again. Aspire to inspire before you expire. Sonia Booth, thank you. CliffCentral.com.